And we don't have an apologies at the moment, councillors. We have two councillors that are proposing to ring in with us if they get anywhere near a phone. They're on the way between Karratha and Perth, and they have booked in to phone in to us if they can, mainly to hear the director's proposals for the upgrade of the airport and the future direction of the airport. And they're both very interested in hearing it, so we propose his till the very far end.
Yes, we certainly can do that, Mr Chair. And just for explanation to other committee members as well, if anyone was looking to be absent and wanted to formally participate in a meeting, they need to give advance notice because it actually requires a council resolution prior to this meeting to enable people to participate via electronic means. Mm. So that's unfortunately, that's the regulations as they currently stand. So if councillors Jombach and Jacobs are able to phone in, they'll only be acting as observers today. They will not be able to formally participate in the meeting, unfortunately.
Well, I think you told me that because when I had a discussion the other day, I was going to cancel this meeting because I didn't have enough people to attend. But I was informed that if they come in by a teleconference, that they would be quite okay. We never had a council meeting to give them that authority beforehand. So we couldn't have done it.
Not without a resolution of council. So we don't have a lot of committees, which is probably a good thing in terms of the council, but just for this committee and the members that are here today, and we have advised Councillor Jacobs and I think Councillor Jombach as well, that if they are going to be absent and want to participate via electronic means, we need that advance notice so we can at least put something to council to enable that to happen in accordance with the regulations.
Okay, thank you for that. Okay, move on. Leave the meeting open at 12:30.
So, sorry, Mr Chair, I actually think we, given those circumstances, we probably should list Councillor Jombach and Councillor Jacob as apologies. So, given their advice that they can't be at the meeting in person, and if they can phone in to be observers and to listen to the presentations, they're welcome to do that.
Well, under the circumstances, I don't think we have any other alternative just to put the apologies in. So under section 2.2, we put the apologies both of us, Councillor Jombach and Councillor Jacob, councillors and members. Privilege of absence. We have a privilege of absence. I'm very pleased to see Councillor Gillingham is attending the meeting. Thank you, Councillor Gillingham. The positive previous questions taken on notice. Questions from public at the Airport Committee meal held on Wednesday the 13th, there were none. Questions from elected members at the Airport Committee meeting held on Wednesday the 3rd of April, there were one, if I remember rightly, it was from Mr Wally. And I think, Mr Wally, your questions were answered under 5.1, are they to your satisfaction?
No, what I was wanting was the answers to the question I asked to place in written form so we could see what the response was.
Have you read 5.1 on page 7?
Of the minutes.
Of the minutes of the last meeting, Chris. That's right.
Your set to Chris to read.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. All right. You pass across.
Yes, please.
5.1 on page 7 on the minutes, Mr. Wally.
Oh, yeah, I don't have this at all.
Oh, aren't you?
No, I haven't seen this.
Well, the last resolution was that you were to receive a hard copy.
Well, I think the minutes are sent to committee members.
Chris doesn't have email, though.
No, I haven't seen any of this.
Haven't you?
No, I've seen nothing.
Would you like to peruse it first before you move on to make sure that satisfies your question, Mr. Wally?
No, I haven't seen this at all. Anyway,
well, I thought the last resolution in order to receive a hard copy.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just suspend standing orders for that while Mr. Wally reads that reply. Thank you. You're happy with that? Thank you. We'll now move on to public time. Before going to public time, I'd just like to report this meeting is being recorded as audio tape as an additional record of the meeting and to assist with minute-taking purposes, which may be released upon request of third parties. If you do not give permission for recording your participation, please indicate this at the meeting. The public is also reminded that in accordance with Section 20.3 of the Town of Port Hedland Local Laws on Standing Orders, nobody shall use any visual, vocal, electronic device or instrument to record the proceedings of any meeting unless that person has been given permission by the chairperson to do so. Now I open public question time. Is there any questions from the public? Neil? Public statement time. Any questions from the public? Statement time. Neil? Questions from members without notice. Any questions from members without notice?
Nothing.
Mr. Wally? Nothing. Nil. Declaration by members to have given due consideration all matters contained in the business paper presented before the meeting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Nil. Thank you, councillors. Confirmation of minutes of the previous meeting. Minutes of the meeting held on the 1st of May, which unfortunately Mr. Wally didn't get them, but if somebody is quite prepared to move the acceptance of the minutes, move Councillor Hunt. Seconded Mr. Dominic. All those in favour? Motion carried.
So, Mr. Chair, just the advice I'm given from staff is that they were sent out in hard copy, and Mr. Wally...
Mr. Wally, have you...
So we may even just need to check your address to make sure you haven't moved house, Chris.
Chris, is your residential house or accommodation, is that supplied to the staff?
Your postal address.
My postal address?
Yeah.
6721.
No, have they got it? Have the council staff got it?
I don't know.
Well, that's probably why you didn't get the minutes. Maybe you can make sure they did.
I gave it to them about 3 years ago.
Oh, okay.
They should have all this information.
Yeah. Okay, we'll make sure that happens.
Yeah, please, thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
So,
Councillor, just please note the address.
Well, can do. The current arrangements have been that Mr. Wally's come to collect his agenda and minutes previously. So, we're happy to post them out if you want them posted out.
Well, before we do that, just a point of clarification. In the past, CA states that you have called in and picked your minutes up.
That's right, I did that last week.
But there was no minute there for you.
Not these.
Okay. So do you wish to still pick your minutes up,
yes,
or do you want them posted?
Yes, pick them up.
Pick them up. Okay. Let's clarify. They shall be retained.
Thank you.
Be picked up. Thank you. Okay. It's confirmation of the minutes of the airport committee meeting held on the May the 13th. Could I have a move or second or any discussion on it? Move Councillor Hunt. Mr. Dominic seconded. All those in favour? Motion carried. Petitions and deputation presentations and submissions.
We have one. Did you have anything under item 8 yourself? Back on the previous card. No, sorry. 8.
No, I've got nothing further to me without notice, members of the committee. Now move on to petition deputation presentations. We've had our only presentation. I don't think we've got any further presentation that I'm aware of.
Apart from the airport.
Now we're in a bit of a problem here, members.
Ooh, there's a problem. Perhaps you'd like to do the other agenda items and come back to this one.
I think so. Yeah.
Leave that to last?
Yeah, leave you to last. Okay, we'll forget that one, Councillor. We'll move on to 9.1.
9.1,
let me find it. I haven't found it yet. 10.1.
10.1 is page 10.
Yeah. Yep. Put an international projects update. Well, this is what I was thinking about a little while ago, councillors. There is an update on the Progressive, as we requested last meeting. Is there any comments or any information required on any information being supplied to you?
No points of clarification, so moved.
Thank you, Mr. Councillor. Seconded, Councillor Joyham. All those in favour? Motion carried. Move on to 10.2, International Overview Precinct. to the airport of the master plan. I've seen 7 master plans up to date, so which one are we going to have a look at this time?
Through you, Mr. Chair, part of the rationale behind this agenda item was to make it quite clear what was happening in each precinct, and also what precincts, I guess, this committee was responsible for, just so there's some clarity around that. And it also shows where the revenue streams are to go into the airport reserve. At this stage, this council can make a different decision to that at any time it likes in the future. But it's currently, we're showing where the revenue streams are headed into the airport reserve.
Point of clarification. The solar farm, is that going to be on this particular, within this precinct?
Potentially.
Yes. And that would be another source of revenue?
That's really a council decision, but potentially. So that would fall actually in. I think there was 2 areas. One was actually in precinct 3, wasn't it?
Yeah, precinct 3.
And there was a potential for some in precinct 4. So until those expressions of interest or RFPs are considered by council, if there are a proposal to go into the airport land, then they should come back to this committee for consideration. Before they go to council.
If you remember that in council at the last meeting, I put that amendment into that resolution that the income derived from the Bunnings one went back into the airport reserve.
Yes.
That's right. Okay, is there any other further discussion? This is only a guideline of what's happening because the business plan we're looking at is certainly an old one. And I've seen a couple on since then, so I don't know, and I probably will ask the director during his presentation, is he reviewing the other ones we've had in 12, or is he going to propose to use the Airbiz 111 as the master plan, or what's the proposal for that? Because there are a lot of variations in the 2 different plans, which you probably don't look at in here.
Yes, consideration is that we use the 2011 faster plan, but that be reviewed.
Fine, thank you. Was there anything further in that item, members?
No point for clarification, so moved.
Okay. Ms. Councillor Hunt, seconded. Sir Dominic, all those in favour? Carried. Airport Committee 10.3. This is a confidential item.
It's not a confidential item, Mr. Chair. All we've done is put in the submissions that we received by the public as confidential attachments, because we've previously been criticised for providing people's public information into an agenda where I think that was through a funding request. We provided some financials of an individual business.
It's most unusual to have confidential items. It's not a confidential information. It's not a confidential motion. It's still, never mind, we shall proceed.
So we've got, if I can, so what we have is a précis of the preferred candidates.
Yep.
And your confidential attachments have actually got the information from all expressions of interest received.
Thank you.
So I have some points of clarification. So
certainly, yes.
So Dr. King is a very busy man, and I was just wondering, although he's a wonderful asset to have on here, he doesn't live in Port Hedland. What would his availability be to attend the meetings, given that, we have not been able to have a meeting for lack of a quorum before? That's one of my concerns. The other one is that the format of the committee says that we have one vacancy. Why are we adding another person
to our
committee?
So you want me to fill those?
Yes, because the point of clarification was at the present moment we can only elect one person. So why are we nominating 2? That was my first question.
Okay, well, can I address Councillor Hunt first? Is that I did have a discussion with Dr. Ken King, who is very, very keen to, have a regional voice and I guess bring some of his logistics experience to the airport committee. He understands the importance of the Port Hedland International Airport, and given his schedule, if he didn't feel he could have contributed, he would not have nominated. I'm quite guaranteed of that. So he does spend quite a bit of time in Port Hedland as well, and he will, I guess, arrange his schedule around his around this committee when he spends other time now in Port Hedland.
So would he, sorry, can I ask another question? Would he be representing the PDC? Is that what he would be here to do?
Well,
Given that we have two councillors who are also members of the PDC,
yeah,
who could speak on his behalf if he needed to.
So I guess if the committee, any person sitting on this committee is not necessarily representing anyone else other than bringing their expertise to the committee.
Mm-hmm.
So he's still, whilst he's the CEO of the Development Commission, he's coming as Dr. Ken King, who has probably a different, probably a fairly unique set of skills in the Pilbara at this particular point in time.
Yes, I do understand.
So in terms of the numbers of members, which both you and Councillor Carter have queried, I guess it was my consideration of looking at the people who expressed an interest. There were two very, very good candidates who were going to bring a strategic skill set into this committee. And at this time, whilst we've only had one formal resignation, I guess it's also acknowledged that Mr. Wally has indicated he will be leaving town at some stage this calendar year. And that making sure that there was a strategic complement of people on the committee, irrespective of whether Mr. Wally left the committee at some stage in the future, was relevant.
Well, my question is that if that is the case, I feel in my own feeling that we are only permitted to elect one person at the present moment until such a time Mr. Wally resigns. We can't preempt Mr. Wally.
No, I'm not doing that at all.
Could decide to stay here. So I don't think we can open it up just on the suggestion that a person's going to leave town.
So, sorry, I didn't do it on that alone. I guess what we've done in terms of the recommendation to committee, which then becomes a recommendation to council, that the terms of reference are changed to allow an additional member, which is part one of the recommendation. Part two of the recommendation provides the names of the two people that through staff we're recommending. And then point three was at some stage in the future do a further review of the terms of reference based on the needs of the committee and the needs of the town of Port Hedland for this committee to look at the operations and, well, more the strategic direction of the Port Hedland International Airport.
I would like to see the terms of reference changed and endorsed by the council until we attain such time as we alter it from one to two. I see the recommendation number three should certainly become number one, and if the council then endorse the extension of the committee, I think we would then go ahead and give consideration to the appointment of the two people. But under the present conditions, I'd only be willing to accept a nomination for a person, a single person, with the committee stating at this present moment we have a certain number of people. So if we're going to consider, which is entirely up to you, members, whether you want to accept that or whether you wish to lay it on the table until such time as that the terms of reference have been altered, and then come back for the recommendation of the two nominees.
Through the chair, would that mean then if we only nominate have one, settle on one, that you need to re-advertise again for another person, have to go through all the process so, again, where we could possibly have two very good candidates here for the committee?
Only if the council decided that.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So it says a vacant.
Yeah.
So if I can, I guess what we tried to structure was number one provides a recommendation to council to amend the current terms of reference to allow the additional member.
I understand that.
And then two was to recommend to council for the two appointments. And then the third part, as I probably indicated earlier, is then to do a full assessment or reassessment or review of the terms of reference at some stage in the future.
Yep. Well, it's up to you, members, whether you wish to take the recommendation, whether you wish to endorse the two people as recommended by the officers, or whether you...
Can I just clarify something? So we can vote on number two and have two extra people, one extra person on the committee before we change the terms of reference, is that right?
Well, this committee's only making a recommendation to the council.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we can't change nothing.
So no, nothing will be formalised until such time as council has voted on first the change or amendment to the terms of reference to include the additional member, and then council would consider the recommendation from the committee on those two recommended committee members, and then obviously consider part three.
Okay, so this is only a recommendation back. So if it's the will of the committee that we recommend to council, we recommend the appointment of these two, and also with the items 1, 2, and 3 as outlined by the officers, that the that whole recommendation then becomes the resolution.
So moved.
Thank you. Seconded, Councillor Gillingham. All those in favour? Harry. Thank you. Right,
so if I can, Mr Chair, just I guess for Eric's understanding what happens now as a nominee, this committee makes recommendations to the full council of the town of Port Hedland, and that the council meets on the fourth Wednesday, Eric. So at that stage, this recommendation from the committee becomes a recommendation to council, and council then deliberates on the matter at full council.
Thank you. All right, we move on. I think at this stage we've only got one more presentation to make, and I don't.
Should I try and phone?
Yeah, just if you wouldn't mind.
Excuse me.
Because I know they did want to hear your presentation. But, have you taken a freight terminal in this one, Brett?
I talk about freight logistics hub, so yes, good. Yeah, that's the vehicle, freight terminal to be included.
Good.
So what I'll be doing is starting with the strategic vision, talking about the development philosophy, then a bit of a summary of the master plan, just to remind everyone about the 2011 master plan.
Excellent.
And then some observations, and then the next steps, quick wins for life.
In your stages of your extension of your terminal, you're going to do stage one nearest to the old shed that we just pulled down.
Yeah, we met with Polar Aviation this morning to discuss the logistics of shifting them.
Yeah.
So the intention is to go that way first, as stage one of phase one.
Yep.
And then stage two of phase one is over the management centre.
Yep. If you've got any, you wouldn't have a timeline on that at the first moment. You get the cash component cleared up, wouldn't you?
We said this, definitely this calendar year to get them sorted. They'll have to recognise that the current rental arrangements will have to substantially change, because I think they pay $6,000 a year for a freight hangar. It's far too cheap.
That's very, very cheap.
Yeah. I don't know whether we should suspend standing orders while this is going on.
And I haven't verified that. That's just what I've been told by others. We do need to review all of that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
We had quite a positive meeting with them. We talked about shifting them to where the old Air Services Australia building's been demolished, picking up a Polar Aviation hang up, putting it down there.
Did you record that suspense, Danny Orr, did you? Yes, it's been moved by Councillor Hart.
I know you get...
Suspense, Danny Orr. We're waiting now for the presentation.
So item number 9.1 has been moved to the first period.
9.1. Suspend standing orders. Move councillor and move to second councillor doing that.
I've got councillor Jean back. He'll just stay on speakerphone.
Right, okay.
And hear Brett's presentation. And I might need to borrow someone else's phone to try to hold a councillor Jacob. But Brett, I think it's best if you start.
Yeah, okay.
Chris is
going
back up to the second. Bill, I think Bill's got about 15 minutes before they then have to board, so he'll, that's why we make a start.
We're just waiting for Chris to come back and then he can get underway. We did. Hey Joe, we did have a quorum. We had a quorum for that suspension.
Can you send her a text on that? Can you just say,
Yes.
Just going to make a start now, Bill.
Okay, we'll just resume standing orders once again now. Please move Councillor Councillor Gillingham.
I saw Councillor Hunt move the thing.
Yeah, she moved it.
Yeah,
she moved it.
Hi.
It's back in the...
Confirming the flight to Newman.
Got it.
Yeah.
All right, go for your lot.
Okay, yeah. Well, thank you, everyone. What I'm intending to go through here is my initial overview of the master plan and the development philosophy contained within that master plan document. If I can get this to work. Nope, I'm just doing that wrong. There we go. So I'll start, just remind everyone about the strategic vision, which I'm sure we're all aware of for the airport, the development philosophy, master plan, some observations, snapshot observations of the master plan and the key elements of the master plan, and then the challenges, the opportunities, and then the next steps as I see it. So, strategic vision. Port Hedland International Airport is a modern and well-serviced airport that provides a welcoming gateway to the northwest. So, contained within that strategic vision is obviously the redevelopment and upgrade of the airport, the increased facilitation of passengers. Obviously, everything has to be contained around a business case and revenue increases and improved customer and satisfaction levels. But to develop Port Hedland International Airport as a leading regional airport in the area of passenger freight movements and customer satisfaction. So what we've got is an airport that I guess has some ageing infrastructure which needs to be upgraded and improved. We need to provide for new freight facilities and freight logistics areas, so that there are no roadblocks, particularly within that area, so a proper freight zone, a proper freight hub. And we need to develop our ongoing business strategies around this philosophy and vision. So, development philosophy, and I've just popped this up here just to describe, I guess, my development philosophy and how we would develop an airport going forward. Any way that we're going to redevelop the airport going forward, safety has to be paramount. It is an airport, and so you know, assets have to be fit for purpose. It has to be a safe, secure environment for passengers to travel through and travel to and from. And equally, we need to meet our regulatory requirements. So we need to comply with CASA, Civil Aviation Safety Authority, Office of Transport and Security, Air Services Australia, and Department of Infrastructure and Transport. All of those government agencies have rules and regulations compliance matters that we have to comply with. So within our development philosophy, we need to make sure that we contain all of those elements that need to be contained to continue to operate as an airport and have our operator's certificate to continue to remain valid. Now, facilitation, customer and stakeholder satisfaction is obviously a key important element. You know, it is a council airport, and we have an obligation to make sure that the assets and the amenity and are substantially improved to facilitate the movement of passengers and the comfort of passengers and all of our other stakeholders as well. That's border agencies, that's airline operators as well. I guess the view to take is that as the provider of an infrastructure asset, everyone else that uses that infrastructure asset, be that border agencies, be that airlines, passengers, freight users, freight operators, they're all our customers. And so we need to develop that with our philosophy in mind. And then sustainable growth management. Obviously, that's around master planning, making sure that we are securing the future of the airport so that anything we do is accretive to developing a great facility that doesn't end up with not through proper planning, having an appropriate development base that facilitates growth. Once again, what I say is no roadblocks. Operationally, it needs to operate into the future, allowing for growth, so making sure the runways are appropriate, the taxiways are appropriate, and that we facilitate the future growth of new generation aircraft and the like, and the increased passenger movements. And financially and commercial, so that the business itself can stand alone as a standalone business, and that whatever we do, whatever we develop, whilst we have our community hat on as well, that we develop it with a sound business case and a sound financial return, so that the revenue streams generated by the airport support the airport, and that each contributes its dividend to the council. And then social and environmental, you know, such as the solar panel array, which was mentioned earlier on. So it's important that we minimise our carbon footprint wherever we possibly can, just in terms of our corporate social responsibilities. Okay, so master plan snapshot. Finalised in 2011, combined with a land use plan. Actually, quite a good document. It's a little out of date at the moment, and it needs updating. And one of the proposals I'll be recommending later on is that we review the master plan and update it and review some of the land use planning within the master plan as well. It provides a 20-year planning framework for the future development to meet long-term business operational and regional needs, and identifies a lot of those needs within that planning framework. Identifies challenges in the terminal, landside areas, airside infrastructure. So there's a lot of key challenges around GA being close to RPT, regular public transport operations, and freight facilities being within close proximity of the operational apron and the like. Discuss aviation forecasts. Obviously, mining-related growth has its own challenges. You know, you have substantial increases in growth with fly-in, fly-out market and the like. And then you have downturns and you have flat periods as well. So forecasting is quite a challenge for an airport in this region, in the Pilbara region. And, you know, so it's all based on under the master plan, it's been based on a number of scenarios, which is the best way and the most appropriate way of doing it. So it's been based on a high-level iron ore production with high base, peak of 610,000 passengers in 2014 and 15, which then declined. So there's these four scenarios, if you like, within the master plan in terms of growth, you know, highs of 700,000 down to lows of 460,000 and the like. So that's quite a challenge when you're trying to look at how do we grow the airport, how do we make sure that we're just in time in terms of the assets and the investments we make within that scenario. And I think we have to be quite cautious, and we just have to do that scenario planning. And it outlines the key infrastructure projects and preservation programs. So there's a number of programs outlined in that master plan document. As I said, it's quite a well-written master plan document. It needs a bit of a review in terms of compliance from a regulator's point of view, just to make sure that all of its key boxes are ticked. And then it needs a review of the master, the land use planning element of it, particularly around Precinct 1. Key master plan elements. This is really just to remind everyone, and this particular slide obviously is focused on Precinct 1. The hotel development, obviously, we were talking about, was in that zone through there. There's the car parking, ground transport zone, and then there's a future development zone, commercial development zone through here. And really through here, this is the logistics area that we spoke about previously. And then down in here, the interim aviation cargo support area. But really, this area through here, this becomes your freight hub, if you like, your freight hub area. And the apron area through here grows through here, and this work has been let for some of the apron works already to go in here. And we have our terminal expansion zone through here, which is phase one, but it includes stages one and stages two. So stage one will grow in this direction through here of phase one, which will be 6,500 square metres, and then stage two down here. I'm probably preempting my slides, but anyway, we'll barrel on. The general aviation, we relocate general aviation into this expansion zone through here. Obviously, we won't go all that way tomorrow, so to speak, but there is plenty of growth in the general aviation area in this aspect. So that's just an overview, just to refresh everyone's memory. So the reserve area surrounding the terminal will grow 15 metres onto the apron and grow this way to the northeast initially, and then ultimately over the top of the management centre. So the management centre will need to be relocated when stage two comes along. And as I said, phase one development, 3,500 to 6,500 square metres overall, going to 10,000 square metres. This reserve in here then adds another 5,000 plus square metres to the terminal. So the reserve provides plenty, within the master plan, provides plenty of scope for growth of the terminal. Okay, I just wanted to put this slide up because there has been some good work done on the future growth of what a terminal might look at in terms of its functionality. This will also be subject to review and undergo review. We've already started stakeholder meetings with Virgin Australia Regional Airlines, which is SkyWest under another name. That's their new name now. And we've met with Qantas as well, and we're meeting with Virgin, if not next week, it'll be the following week. And we've got a workshop with Qantas following as well. So this is a good base to start discussions with them. This will then need to be workshopped, and then we'll need to start refining this plan. But basically what we have is your key departures area. We have a centralised check-in area through here. So you come in, check into your check-in hall through here, through security, into this larger departure areas. There's a swing lounge concept here. Now that swing lounge, in my view, could be much bigger. It not only can it cater for international operations, it can cater for VIP operations, it can cater for quarantine operations. So there's a number of uses you can put a swing lounge into. You have your outbound immigration.
Sorry, mind if you just explain what a swing lounge is?
Okay, so it's you're quite right, thanks, Mal. A swing lounge is a lounge that has a series of movable walls, and it flexes between being a purely domestic departure lounge, turning it into an international departure lounge by creating an international secure area, by simply closing these walls off, and then your management of your passengers come through your outwards immigration through here into this area, and then they become international passengers in effect.
Your arrivals come through the same way.
Arrivals will come, actually, no, they won't. Under this plan, they have been separated to create flexibility. So down at the arrivals end down here, you actually have another movable wall. So you have a swing hall, just to keep using that terminology. And then, so you've got two baggage reclaim belts down here for your normal domestic operation on the weekends. At the moment, when you've got your international operations, you can close that wall there. Everyone will come through a customs hall through here, through immigration, pick up their bags, go through the baggage exam, final customs and quarantine processing, and back out that way.
Again, it duplicates your customs.
Does
one going out, one coming in?
Yes. It doesn't actually duplicate. Customs will operate as a flight's departing. It departs in the morning. And then when, yes, departs in the morning, and when it arrives the following day, they simply change their operations to that side.
They'll have two facilities.
Yes, they will have two facilities. Over this side, the facilities are fairly straightforward. There is a bit of a screening point, but there's no interview rooms and things like that needed at this point. They can walk them over into here anyway if they need to. Well, mind you, that has to be managed. But within this area here, some things that are missing is an interview room, dare I say it, a toilet inspection facility, which is a specialist facility that most international airports have for those suspicious passengers that require further examination. So that sort of stuff needs to be incorporated within that zone through there as well. So there is some work to do to this. Look, in terms of some of the retail pieces as well, you would never put your retail this close to your toilet facilities within here. The bar, cafe, indoor-outdoor area, I think this Port Hedland being where it is, an indoor-outdoor area is an important element. It retains that feel of the tropics and the like. So I think that's important to retain. Within this facility through here, you create some further retailing down in here. Certainly chemist, news, books, destination souvenir and all that, there's that potential. And then within here, we need to consider whether we have inbound and outbound duty-free and the like. So
you're boarding there.
So this plan, and just up through here, while we're on this slide, this plan up here also has the provision of commercially important passenger lounges, that's what the airlines call them, which is basically your club lounge and your Virgin lounge as well, which will be contained on top. In fact, with whatever we design, we will design it with the facility to potentially put a second story on the building. What we're trying to design, and I think what we'll end up doing is we'll actually come right down to this line through here. We're trying to design space to allow an at-grade processing at this point in time, because it is expensive to go up, and there's no need to go up with the number of passengers that we've currently got. But we should provide for the building to actually go up ultimately if it needs to. So it's just about structural design of the building to be able to take that capability. Just quickly on those. Okay, so master plan recommendations, relocate land uses conflicting with the RPT activities and terminal expansion. So this is the general aviation I mentioned earlier that needs to be relocated around to the southwest. And the helicopter operations need to be relocated out of there, and we need to create a deeper freight apron away from the RPT operations as well. So implement a freight and logistics precinct with consideration for future air freight. So I talked about a freight logistics zone, so a proper area that has all of those elements incorporated so that freight can come directly via air through into Port Hedland rather than going down to, say, Perth and then being trucked up. We've also met and spoken very quickly with the port about the synergies and about how we could link the various freight elements with the port, and they're certainly quite enthusiastic about that aspect as well. And then review the ground transport and car park configuration. Within the new logistics area, we'll be taking out all the backup rental car parking, because that doesn't need to be as close to the terminal as it currently is. So that can be reviewed, that can be shifted, if you like, within the logistics area where they can have their refueling and their servicing and the like. And then you just have your ready bays within close proximity. And then expand the public car parking areas, looking at the equipment, rationalised traffic flow, that all needs looking at, the circulation needs looking at and needs redesigning as well. And the master plan provides that sort of work should take place. And then there's the extended aprons to separate, as I said before, GA from RPT. And then implement landscaping and entry statements in terms of the vista and in terms of the experience. It's important to create a certain sense of presence within the airport precinct. Okay, so challenges. The need, obviously, to separate freight, GA and RPT activities, which are located within close proximity, and it's all about the timing and how we program and start to implement that strategy and start to put those things in place. The master plan says insufficient car parking, but I think we've moved to a charging system and the car parking is under less pressure than it used to previously be, it's fair to say. But we're still going to test that, obviously, and make sure that the car parking is appropriate. Do we need a separate long-term car park versus a short-term car park? There could be an opportunity to rationalise car parking. With modern equipment, you can contain the car parking all within the one zone, and that might actually help to actually simplify the whole experience of driving into the airport. So those sorts of things we need to think about. The terminal and parking is outdated and need expansion and upgrading, so hence the terminal expansion work. But there are some other things that we can do in terms of quick wins and how we can address that. Increasing demand for growth in freight and logistics, tourism and vehicle hire. These are all the challenges that are meeting us. Terminal expansion, limited depth. I talked about that earlier. For optimum facilitation and arrangements, limitations on the throughput of international passengers. And once again, that work that's been done, that's an attempt to actually get a better experience, a better facilitation. When we spoke to Virgin Australia Regional Airlines, their indication was that they're committed to staying at Port Hedland International Airport. The aircraft that they currently use between Tuesday and Thursday are very busy in terms of the fly-in, fly-out services. But on the weekend, there's a bit of downtime, and it actually represents very good utilisation of the aircraft for them. So they actually are quite happy with the service as it currently exists. That's their initial observations. So today they're telling us they want to retain that service, but things are a bit tight. And the experience for the passenger is not as it could be, I guess is the best way to put it. So there's a need to improve those facilities. So we've had very brief conversations with them around the works that might potentially take place. Going forward.
You're talking about bigger aircraft, are you, Red?
Yeah, we talked about bigger aircraft with them. They said there's no plans in the immediate future. Currently, they're happy with the F-100s, the 100-seaters. But ultimately, it could be 737-size aircraft.
Yeah.
So we need to cater for that. We may even design the facilities around 767, yeah, just to make sure you've got the spare capacity. And that would be my recommendation.
So you're going to put the push-pull in?
Yes, we've flagged push-pull with the airlines. We've had pushback from them, dare I use that term, pardon the pun. They obviously, it increases their operational requirements because they'll need tow bars, they'll need additional staff. They've said to us that currently there's no manned tower, it'll be the first airport in Australia that would have those kind of operations. My view is that doesn't limit these kind of operations being at an airport. I'm not 100% sure about that observation, but at this point in time, the conversations have been, barring those comments, have been reasonably positive. So in terms of the apron expansion and putting in the pushback operations, I think that we're going to get there with them in adopting that operation. Certainly, that will certainly help us in terms of our space and the areas. We don't want to have to build more apron to facilitate power in, power out arrangements. So if we can get pushback, that's great. And Air Services Australia has simply noted that we would need to go through a technical requirement with them to get it all certified. So that's just a process.
Yeah. So it's on the plan.
Yeah, that's right. Obviously, there's limitations on the retail offering, and part of the process going forward will be completely review the retail offering, get some competitive tension in the market, get some tendering out there, and improve what's there, create some options for passengers, make them want to shop, I guess. The security point, there's some constraints around the security point at the moment, and there's some immediate stuff we can do, and then there's some longer term stuff that we can do to make sure that that's expandable. Limitations on the current departure lounge facilities, I guess none of this is new. Inadequate airline facilities, limited car rental facilities, inadequate dock and storage facilities. That's getting stuff in and out of the terminal. That's what that component's about, and all that needs to be addressed. Okay. Opportunities. Obviously, the combined international domestic layouts, and I've alluded to the swing lounge actually being used for other uses, could be immigration type uses, asylum seeker type uses. So you can actually create this space that you can use for all of those sorts of uses. So maximise the use of that space. Destinational theming. First and last place you see when you come to most remote areas, most areas in the Pilbara, is the airport. So the airport should reflect a sense of the Pilbara, a sense of presence, a sense of place, and we should try and encapsulate that and capture that through artwork, through regional art programs, through theming, carpeting, stuff that we can do We're going to be replacing stuff anyway, so stuff that we can do relatively inexpensively, but really create a sense of place. And I think we need to incorporate that within the development as we go forward. New technologies, check-in, security, border agency screening, that's constantly improving. There's less space required. You have the frequent flyer plastic cards now that double as your boarding pass. You simply swipe as you go through and you're checked in, given a seat number and the like. And so that reduces the number of check-in facilities. The conversations we've had very briefly with airlines has been around they're actually wanting to put in bag drop, which is great. So they're thinking of actually reducing check-ins down to one, two check-ins, and then having two, three bag drop facilities within the expanded facility, even within the existing facilities, dropping down to just a service desk and having bag drop as well. So they're starting to look at those options, and this is Qantas I'm referring to at the moment. So those new technologies will actually increase the flexibility and the use of the space that we provide for them. Terminal layouts to optimise the retail penetration and increase retail opportunities. So around this space is the airport, first and foremost, always an airport, and we have to facilitate passenger movements to and from aircraft. So we have to be a conduit that allows passengers to move efficiently. But let's get the retail right, the presentation of the retail right within the design element, incorporate that early so that we clip the ticket on the way through and make sure that we're generating, maximising revenue opportunities without impeding the flow of passengers to and from aircraft. And then there's the wider commercial opportunities that come with being a new modern airport. New maybe dog kennel facilities, commercial buildings, freight facilities, logistics, hotels, service stations, all of those things that need to be incorporated and planned within the existing facilities. And the layouts need to suit Port Hedland's particular requirements, so in terms of around planning and around the environment that we have here, and creating even a sense of lifestyle, which you can do at the airport. Master plan recommendations, runway 1432, strengthened with the chip reseal. That work is underway and in progress. Allowing for regular services of 767-300, A330-300 equivalent. The future expansion, that doesn't need to happen for a while, but the future expansion, 500 metre extension, that needs to be protected. For if ever a long-haul operation became a viable option, then it's always good to have that ability to extend the apron. That would essentially give us a 3 kilometre long runway. 2.5 kilometres is a good length runway, and it's 45 metres wide with 7 metre shoulders in the side. I think that's right. Yeah. So it's we have good aeronautical assets at the moment. The runway 1836 is in need of some work. It's got some shape loss, and it needs a bit of work coming forward more immediately. But ultimately, we can also extend that, make that a 1.5 kilometre long runway as well. So these are all things that we need to consider. And so just to really recapture and bring home the point, I guess, there's the terminal, there's the phase one expansion zone through there, just so you can see it on a photo, just to see how old, it takes out the freight facility here, but ultimately the management centre there as well. The open works, which are currently underway through here, just to create the extra depth needed for our pushback, our power in and pushback facilities, and create the extra space. And then the freight zone through here, and then ultimately the apron will come out through here. In that zone through there. Okay. Precinct 2, and just to cover off on the rest of the master plan and just to talk about some of the key elements. Precinct 2, some of the recommendations in there, well, there's two transit work force accommodation developments there, air services, navigation and communications and infrastructure, state emergency service depot, subdivision lease and not sold to. So this is to be subdivided, leased within this precinct, but not sold, to remain part of the airport's assets. And other uses, transient workers accommodation, obviously, is part of the uses that are allowed in that area. Transport development, maybe a freight, a road train assembly area, stuff like that could be done in that area there. So it provides with that. Precinct number 3, this is the Kingsford precinct.
Excuse me, Brent, I'll have to leave. Through the chair, I'll just have to attend back at school.
Oh, okay.
But thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'll be in touch. Thank you.
Coming back later, Jan.
Thank you.
Jan, you coming back later?
Yes.
Okay, I'll see you then. Okay, so it has some height limitations issues with obstacle limitation surfaces, but the potential to put it, and this is contained in the master plan, I'm still in the key elements of the master plan, town of Port Hedland incinerator within that location, there's industrial, warehousing, subdivision sales, and more recently there's the Bunnings proposal and the subdivision and bulky goods. And within this, there's obviously within this area, there's a section of Precinct 3 which is designated to be sold off and subdivided, which will help fund the airport development program going forward. Precinct floor, there are some issues with that, with flooding and etc. But it's ideal. It's got enough area there for the solar farm and the solar farm proposal, which is going to proceed out to tender. Other uses could be long-term self-storage and warehousing, but that'd be subject to the flooding issues and the like. So those are the sorts of things that could be done within that precinct there. Okay, what's progressed since then? Continued passion of growth. We're now up around 500,000 with I think it's 70 flight movements per week. It's getting busier and busier. Completion of some airside infrastructure projects, they're underway. The apron expansion and the resettle of the runway are progressing. Completion of some landside projects, car parking, the CCTV and the lighting, which is going to be installed, and the subdivision of Precinct 3 is progressing as well. So where to next? Quick wins. The cafe, most of you should be aware, there's been some media releases around this. The cafe is going to be upgraded and there's going to be better food options, food and beverage options, there's better servery options, there's going to be internet, wireless access, there'll be charging stations, there'll be a little business centre within the cafe as well. So there's a number of things that's going to be incorporated within the cafe in the medium term. In the short term, to substantially improve that food and beverage offering, and coupled with the increase in the security area, we think that should increase substantially the spend within that area, and correspondingly the return to the airport and to the council as well. Okay, so in terms of some of the quick wins, this slide here, which just shows the increased secure area, which will reduce congestion and the bottleneck at the security point, improve the on-time performance of airlines because we'll have passengers moving through into the secure area earlier, and is common at most airports. And meters and greeters and farewellers at other airports go through the secure area, and they'll be able to do this here. So what we're planning is within this zone through here. That's where currently the security area is now. So normally you walk in, you check in, you come through and you sit in the cafe, the airlines call you early and you join a big queue and you eventually get into the departure lounge area. What's proposed and can be built relatively inexpensively is to knock these walls out through here, retaining these walls and some movable walls for the international operation, but creating this screening point here. So you come through check-in, you go immediately through security and into this area through here. And so the queues and congestion in this area will be lessened because people will be arriving in dribs and drabs, apart from obviously the buses from the workers' camps and stuff like that. They do arrive on that.
You've got no female toilets there.
They're both, one is female.
Yeah, sorry, you have a ride on your hands.
That's just been misnamed. there is females, but it's in that area there.
Okay. Change the diagram. Mother's room with no toilet.
This is an earlier diagram, but it wasn't worth changing for that element. It didn't have an electronic copy to do that with. And it's passed back through here, so those that wish to come back, there'll be some automatic doors and the control of that space through here. And keeping it within close proximity there means that the security operators are able to keep an eye on that as well. Also, additionally, within this space out here, we will retain the outdoor area, and we can make that a secure area simply by providing like crimsafe or a security mesh and actually encasing it. We put a couple of fans in there as well just to move the air around. So you can still go outside
and it can still be secure. You won't be able to pass sharps through and stuff like that. So we can still retain an outside area and still maintain a secure area as well. So the cafe operators are quite happy about that because they wanted to retain an outside space if possible, and that's a way of doing that. There are some challenges around this, but nothing insurmountable. It's just around some fire exits and the fire hose reels, and whether we need to duplicate potentially fire hose reels or put in an additional fire escape. But those can all be incorporated relatively cheaply.
What about your international exit there? Where do you get out?
I was getting to that. Okay, so through here, that's your normal outwards immigration into this area here. That's all secure. You go out that way. Normally when you arrive, you come in here, you present at immigration here, you come here, you pick up your bag, you come through to customs, you go through your baggage inspection there, and then you would head out this door through here. And currently there's offices in here and interview rooms. So what will happen
here...
Where
does that take you to?
It takes you into this little hallway. Normally what you've done is you've come through here and you've walked back that way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What will happen now is there's a wall there, and you will go out this way, and you will walk out this way, and walk along here and cross to the car park. We're actually looking at putting in a crosswalk around here, and probably a crosswalk around here as well, creating three crosswalks. So it just allows... You don't have to go to a central crosswalk to cross. That's not unusual. A lot of airports have multiple crossings, and so we can do that relatively easily.
That area you've got out, what's that going to be? Because when you leave the international, you've got to walk around that, I believe. Is that right?
Yeah, because that is part of the secure area in there.
Okay.
And it's a little bit bigger than that, but there is space undercover for people to circulate around out through there. The only downside to this, if you are welcoming, meeting...
They'll be standing outside.
Yeah. So that's the only downside to this. But as it's a short-term solution, the benefits outweigh the cons. The other thing we've considered is part of our quick wins will be looking at this whole amenity through here, landscaping. We're getting some structures to put some sheltered structures in through here as well. And we've got some existing structures that have got a bit of a wing shape to them. We'll be putting those in there as well. I'm probably preempting a slide. So increasing the secure area, verge improvements and amendments, and then introducing a bus holding area. Part of looking at the next stages and how we're going to develop the airport going forward and not slowing up the international terminal development is allowing for this freight facility here to be demolished and the establishment of a freight facility over here. And then having access through the gate through here. To do that, we can't do the bus holding area over here immediately, and it may be after we've reviewed the whole ground transport arrangement. We want to do something completely different. But what we've got is, within this area through here, we've got the old mobile compound, and we can bitumise that. That's going to become car park anyway, so it's not wasted investment. And we can put the bus holding area up through here, so we can get rid of the congestion across the front, so all of the workers' camps buses can all park over here, and they will simply cross through the car park over that crossway and then into here that way. So that's another improvement just to help with circulation through the airport as well. And as I said, verge improvements through there as well can be done all relatively cheaply. One of the other things we've also considered is looking at a lick of paint on the terminal now, and perhaps incorporating that as a community program, maybe some form of artwork, and putting that out there for the community to have comment on and potentially participate in, freshen up the front of the terminal, a bit of painting, that sort of things, almost like a community program, but we get some theming happening. We'll have to manage that quite carefully, but that could be something we could do. And internally and externally, painting the ceiling just white. We'll substantially lift the terminal. So all of those things I think we can incorporate within a limited budget and start. And so that's what we're classifying as the quick wins. And I think that stuff can get going pretty quickly. So what next? And what are the key things that need to be undertaken in the medium term? A review of the master plan. We need to review the operationally, so from an aeronautical perspective, plus a land use planning perspective, the master plan, update the master plan. There's been some key changes and there's been some updates, so the master plan just needs updating from that perspective. So really it's a peer review of the master plan, and what we're going to do is a workshop a workshop with Airbus and someone like a an airport land use development specialist as well, and then review and bring a recommendation to council and to the committee for changes to the master plan. Terminal growth review that plan that I showed you earlier. As I said, a lot of good work's been done. Now it just needs to be challenged, and there's going to be a whole lot of stakeholder meetings as well planned, and develop up and review that concept, bring that concept back to the committee, get approval for that concept, then take that concept out, document it, and get it ready for tender and get that out as soon as possible. Ground transport, that's the car parking more particularly, but around rental cars, buses, and just circulation and around the terminal. Do a complete review of that and then start programming those works as well. And then the freight logistics area and the hub, and just making sure that that's still fit for purpose and we get that right, absolutely right within the planning, and then just working on those two. So those are the key things that I see are the more immediate, medium-term things that need to be focused on in this area. But it's not losing sight for some of the longer-term stuff that we should also be discussing as well, and just programming and planning going forward. I think, yes. That's it. So I'm happy to take questions.
Right. Yeah. With this new upgrading of the air terminus, will the front of the terminus have proper shade structures to protect passengers and people from sunlight?
Yeah, look, with the new complete terminal, we'll actually have shade structures across the road. I don't want to preempt anything, but across the road and shade structures from the terminal, and they will overarch, if you like, the arrivals departures road.
Yeah.
So it will shade and anyone arriving and departing in that area, keep the weather off them and the like. An airport that I previously was at, Darwin Airport, we did exactly that some years ago. If you jump on the website, you can have a look, you can see the sort of structures I'm talking about. So I'd like to incorporate something like that because it works well in a tropical environment. You still want to get the air through and all that sort of stuff. And we can even use appropriate sailcloth and stuff like that. The only issue with that is it has to come down in cyclones and all that sort of stuff. They just need to be mindful of all that sort of stuff. But yeah.
Okay, any other queries from the projected development? Looks like we're starting to move ahead. It just sounds good to me. Very good indeed. Thanks very much indeed.
Thank you.
For your presentation. Thank you indeed. Okay, we move on to the... Move on to item 11. Late items is committed by my... The only one item that I've got and I'd like an up-to-date on, and it's one of the old perennials. How far down the track are we with the electrical reimbursements and all electrical charges at the Horizon Power?
Cool. Through the chair, I might pass over to the manager of business development. It has been extremely difficult.
Yep, through the chair. Again, it's been more meetings with Horizon Power. They've charged us on the wrong tariff. So there's some negotiation around what that will be in the future and what it will be backdated. It's quite complicated between some things that some of our contractors have done in the past as well. Around sign-offs, so we're just trying to coordinate everything to all come together at once. So we still haven't got an outcome, unfortunately.
So this has been going on for 2.5 years. So where are we at now? They've done what? I'm just not quite. They've done all the meter readings.
Horizon Power have come to us.
And they've given us a bill. Yeah.
Where they think that they are.
Yeah.
So we're having meetings with them. There's also some of our contractors that are involved who've put in some of the sub meters that we've got at the airport.
Yeah.
So we're trying, as well as trying to rectify what's happened in the past, we're trying to make sure that we don't have any issues in the future and make sure that everything's going to be much simpler moving forward. So unfortunately, it's still being worked out with Horizon Power. There's not much more information.
Are we charging our clients presently now, or are they still in the foreseeable future?
We can't do that until we pay.
So that's going up and up and up.
Yeah.
Okay, would you please ensure that continues into the minutes of the meeting with an update of where we are on that? Save me having to ask the question every time.
Yeah, well, it's just been pointless to put something in because there's been no progression.
Looks like Madam Melba. Okay, we move on to notice of being given there at nil. confidential items. We have a confidential items that's purely only on the CVs of the applicants. We've already accepted a recommendation to council that the officer's recommendation be approved. So unless anybody's got any specific items, they go into confidential for those discussions. So I'll just let that lay on the table. Anybody wish to go into confidential? Okay, nothing, thank you. Application for leave of absence. Any leave of absence? None? Excellent.
None allowed.
Not permitted. Date of next closure, I declare the meeting closed at 1:40. Thank you very much for your input and also your attendance. And the next meeting will be held on the 3rd of July. Thank you, members. Yes, please.
Just in closing, I'd just like to make a comment. I noticed that we've got two new fire engines now installed at the airport.
Yes.
As of last week, for the first time in 10 years. Because I was a member of the Port Hedland Volunteer Fire Brigade up until 15 years ago, and we had regular fire training sessions with the firefighters at Port Hedland Airport at least once a year, so that we know what to do, what happens if an accident ever happened. Ditto South Hedland Fire Brigade. So I'm glad to see there's now two brand new fire engines or main pumps stationed up at Port Hedland Airport. Thank you.
Yeah, we were out the other day. We all had a ride in them and operated the pressure hoses, and one got down a bit low and nearly wiped everybody off. But it was certainly a great
additive. See that. Thank you.
Yeah, it was very good. Thanks very much, Chris. I declare the meeting closed. I've declared the meeting closed at 1:40 now.
Thank you very much.
Do you want these things back?
Which councillor did you call in? Gloria or Bill called in just so I can...
Sorry, Bill was just on the phone. Did Gloria text?
She sent me a text message, so we've all listening.
Yeah, just so I can put that in the minutes.
Just say they participated, just say they were observers.
That's Brett's presentation, thanks.
They got two more times.